Did I miss anything? Nope, there we go. Hey, today is week two, God's kingdom over my castle. Did you know each of you have a castle? You have a domain where you live, where you get to rule and reign. And it's, you might be thinking like, in your mind, you picture some like Scottish castle and you're like, Kurt, I do not have a castle. You do. I was in the car with my boys yesterday and we asked Siri, how many horses were carrying our chariot? 280. I have a fleet of 280 horses that drive me around this wonderful town that I live in. You have a castle if you have a car. You have means and resources. Wherever it is that you find yourself, there is a domain where you have rule and reign. You have decisions that you make. You have a life that you're managing and stewarding. And what we see in the life of Jesus is a call to welcome his kingdom, rule and reign over our domain. To be a people to follow Jesus means we begin to say, God, let your kingdom come and be bigger than my castle. Let your authority be the authoritative voice in decisions day in and day out. As we think about following Jesus together, I don't just want you to have a faith component of your life. I want all of your life to be an expression of your faith. Faith is not an add-on. It is not a supplement. Life surrendered to Jesus means all of my life is his. God's kingdom over my castle. And here's what I want to just set the stage for us today. Jesus' teaching in Luke 12 gives us insight to this. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, and disciple is one who is following Jesus. Okay, you've yielded, you've humbled yourself to his leadership in your life, and you're following. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Easier said than done. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Life is more than the material reality we see and often are distracted and consumed by day in and day out. He goes on to say, he goes on to say in verse 31, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you. When we seek first the kingdom, we can live as those who are not afraid because he says, do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father, God the Father, has been pleased to give you his kingdom. This is how God wants to relate to us. Do not worry about your life, but let your life come under the authority and the lordship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because it pleases him to give you all of his kingdom. That's good news. That's Jesus' teaching. But it's not just in his teaching, it's in his action. In Luke 4, Jesus is very clear about the action of his life, the purpose of his life. And it says, but Jesus said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. He kept on proclaiming that there is a kingdom, rule and reign for you and for me. Every town. Every place there is a castle, that castle is invited to come underneath the lordship of the King of Kings. There's been this really sweet opportunity I've had recently to just read scriptures with a friend. And there's a couple different people that I'm getting to do that with. And I was reading a week or so ago with one of my friends, and we're just reading the Bible out loud together and asking God, what are you saying? And I was back at the arrival of Jesus in Luke 1. It says, but the angel said to her, Mary, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. See, when we discover life with Jesus, we are not looking for our eternity to be secured. One day I'll get to heaven. We welcome the eternal, everlasting kingdom to come right here, right now, today. Today. Let your kingdom come, and let your kingdom rule over me and my castle, over my household and my family, over my work, over my resources, over my school, over my campus, over my city, over my neighborhood. Let your kingdom come. This is the way of Jesus. And today, we're going to talk about one element that sometimes happens in castles, which is parenting. Let your kingdom rule and reign over my parenting. And some of you today might be here and you go, well, great, I'm not a parent. This does not apply to me. That is not true. We've likely all been parented to some degree, maybe better or worse. Maybe today you'll hear your Father in heaven speak healing to your heart. Maybe right now you're in a season of parenting or grandparenting, or you have young ones around you. You can become a spiritual parent. Let the scriptures speak to where you are. Let the Holy Spirit call you into a story, because right now we need people who are finding life in the scriptures and can communicate the hope of the gospel through their actions. Amen? And so whether you see yourself as a parent or not, I would encourage you, learn on behalf of a friend who's not here today. Learn on behalf of a coworker who you might be in a conversation with this week, and they are talking to you about what they're going through, and you can speak wisdom and hope to their hearts. Take everything you need for your own life. Take everything you might need for the gift of a life you're going to encounter as we take the hope of scriptures with us. Yeah? All right. So here we go. We're going to be in Luke 11. Jesus wakes up early in the morning, and he's practicing something really important for his own life. Guess what Jesus is doing? One day Jesus is? He's praying. He's praying. A prayer we just prayed, we're going to see Jesus teach. And what I would say to us today is two things. The disciples saw the way Jesus lived, and they said, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. The life Jesus lived was so compelling, the people around him said, I want what you have. That's how we become good parents to our kids. And right now, we're not just saying, Jesus, teach us to pray. We're saying, teach us to parent. Because what I know is life is so complex. I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, to navigate the stuff of life as a parent will introduce more complexities than you have solutions for, more need than you have to supply. And when the demand of life is so great, we're often reduced to our most simple grooved patterns. When the pressure builds around you, it will reveal the things you have muscle memory for. And I will tell you, there is no better muscle memory as a parent than when the pressure builds, we fall on our knees and we cry out to the living God. Teach us to pray. So listen to how Jesus teaches his disciples. One day when Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he was finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples, he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? By a show of hands, how many of you expected this to be the parenting text today? No one. No one. It's so interesting that we so often will live our lives looking for solutions we need, and we detach it from the most compelling invitation of God, which is to live in complete dependence on Him. Ongoing communication with Him, where the living God and the wisdom of God can fill us with everything we need. We don't necessarily see this as a parenting text, but it is a wonderful text, because what it does is it roots us and establishes us in a God who wants to speak to us and meet us and pour His Spirit into us. Parents, you and I need the Holy Spirit more than we could ever imagine. We need the wisdom and the presence and the peace and the power of God to fill us for every complexity we are going to face. I can tell you, believe me. Prayer is the necessary pathway to empowered parenting. What I love this is God knows your heart. He's like, oh, you want to give good gifts to your kids. You do. And He's like, even more me. Even more your Father in heaven. Where do you think that comes from? Where do you think that goodness in you comes from? You're evil. You're imperfect. Yet you want to give good gifts to your kids. Even more. Even more. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask for the living God to fill you and empower you. And I'll tell you this, giving our kids the best begins with desiring God's best in our lives. You need to think about yourself more than you think about your kids right now. You're like, wait a second, that doesn't feel biblical, Kurt. Think more about me than I think about my kids. Here's what I mean. The disciples understood all of their life needed to be formed to the way of Jesus. Our parenting needs to be formed to the way of Jesus, which means we humble ourselves as disciples and say, God, teach me everything that I have so I can give it away. Teach me how to pray. Teach me how to depend on you. Teach me how to be parented as a child of God. Teach me how to understand that your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Teach me to depend on you for daily bread. Teach me to honor and obey your boundaries so that I can replicate and live that out with the people around me. Teach me how to offer forgiveness to those around me, and not only how to offer it, but to how to ask for it. Teach me. The good things you want for your kids will grow when you begin to realize those are good things God wants for you. The good things you want for your kids will grow when you realize it's the good things God's wanting for you. Here's a key parenting principle that I see in this text that I just want to unpack. Modeling is the most important practice for a parent. Modeling the way you want the young people around you to live is the most important practice. What you do is more powerful than what you say. What you do is more powerful than what you say. Here's what I mean. One day, Jesus was... If you want your kids to have a prayer life, don't talk about it, be about it. If you want your kids to hunger for the living God, hunger for the living God. If you want your kids to know how to ask for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness. Parenting matters in your behavior and your action more than lip service. Again, if you're in the room and you're not a parent, the way you behave at work will proclaim the gospel, or it won't. How you model your faith with friends and coworkers matters more than what you say about what you believe about God. It's true of our parenting. We don't want to be parents who do the do as I say, not as I do. And Jesus shows it. One day when Jesus was praying, the behavior and the way he lived his life created a compelling model. And then the disciples said, teach us how to do what you do. And then they were open to everything he had to say. Do y'all see that in the text? What's so interesting about this is our actions and behaviors are the honest substance of our lives. And when we see this work of the Lord's Prayer, it's how we can begin to build a life with the kids that we are around. We begin to show that we are a child of God. Every time I see myself as God's child, guess how I see my kid? You are God's child. You are made in his image. You are loved beyond compare. And the overflow of God's love for me moves to my kids. Let it be modeled in me and then goes from me to others. Give us this day our daily bread. God, I want to depend on you. I need to depend on you for today. Every day I depend on you. Lead us not into temptation. Help me honor boundaries in my own life so when I talk to kids about my kids about honoring boundaries, they see me as a good example of that. And guess what? Anybody in the room perfect? No, me either. I have to ask my kids for more forgiveness than they usually have to ask me. Uh-oh. Parenting principle 101. Teach your kids forgiveness by asking them to forgive you when you blow it. Because you're going to. You're going to. Let me see if I can use a story, a stat, and artificial intelligence to help us along here. Y'all ready? Here's my story. Y'all remember a few years ago there was a global pandemic? I don't know about you, but I became lead pastor of a church community four weeks before there was a global pandemic. My life was stress-free, carefree, and there was no distress, no anxiety, no care in the world. Ha, 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 ha. After about 18 months of that experience, I was not my best. Anybody ever felt frustration in your life? Anybody ever felt fatigue? Fatigue and frustration were real and present in my soul, and I was walking down my street one day with kids that were a little bit younger than they are now, and I remember praying this in my mind to God. God, why can't my kids just be perfect so this would be easier on me? Teach us to pray, God. Teach us to pray. Why can't my kids be perfect so this is easier on who? Dad. Easier on me. I, in that moment, revealed all the deficiency in my life and soul before the Lord. And I felt like God was saying, why are you putting more responsibility on them than on you? Why am I expecting my kids to be perfect so it's easy on me? What if I allow God to grab hold of my life more so I can show up and set the tone and set the example and show them the way of forgiveness and cry out to God for them? Why was I flipping the narrative and making it more about the little ones in the house than about me? Anybody ever been there? Okay, that's real, right? That's real. Well, here's where the statistic comes into play. Because when we learn to see ourselves as needy, we can begin to let God, our Father in heaven, pour out the good gifts that he wants to pour out, which is his very presence, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, so we would be empowered for this life that is very demanding. And then we begin to show up in a more empowered way because it's not just me trying to be a good parent. It's me being filled with the living God. And we get this statistic from Arthur Brooks, professor and author. He's regularly asked, how do I teach my kid to be a decent person? Anybody want your kids to be decent human beings? Yep. Some of you might not have kids, but you want the other kids in the room to be decent. I'll tell you that much right now. You're like looking at the parents and you're going, come on, do your job. Do your job. I want our culture and our society to be better. How do I teach my kid to be a decent person? This is what he says. All that matters is what they see. Be the person you want your kid to become. Statistically speaking, the number one predictor of children growing up and practicing a religion is whether their father practices the religion. Moms, you matter immensely. I don't understand why the research does this, but dads, you showing up and setting the example statistically outpaces moms. Our kids need to see men of God who love God, humbly seek God, and cry out to God for the kingdom to come. Set the example. Model the way. If you want your kids to come to church, come to church. If you want your kids to serve, serve. If you want your kids to pray, pray. Model the way. He goes on to say, if you want to teach virtue, practice virtue. Be the person you actually want your kids to turn into. What we practice is greater than what we preach. Now, if you're anything interested in this, here's what AI has to say about it. We've read the scriptures. You've heard my own story. Here's what AI has to say about it. I Googled, this is literally a screenshot of my phone. According to research, what is the goal of parenting? This is, come on, how many of you do this? You're like, I need help. I'm looking for answers. I'm going to be real honest. If the internet, if it was answers alone, the internet would have already rescued everybody and it would all be fine. We need something more than the solutions. We need souls that are being saved by God. Okay? But check this out. Here we go. According to AI Overview, the overarching goal of parenting, according to research, is to raise responsible, well-adjusted adults who can function independently and contribute positively to society, promoting self-sufficiency. That is not the goal of Scripture. Self-sufficiency is not the goal of Scripture. Self-sufficiency creates so much independent individual idolatry and ideology that it is a consume person, eat person world. But check this out. When I Googled, according to the Bible, what is the goal of parenting? Let's go to the next one. According to the Bible, the ultimate goal of parenting is to raise children who know, love, and follow God. It is God dependence. I have self-sufficiency and I have God dependency. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Teach us to depend on God for daily bread. Teach us to depend on God for forgiveness. Teach us to depend on God for where the boundary lines of temptation are drawn. Teach us to depend on God to resist evil and to move into His kingdom. The goal is our Father, who art in heaven. The goal is God dependency. How are you centering God in your castle? How are you modeling dependence on God in your castle? Teach us to pray. Teach us to parent. My wife, Lauren, sent me a podcast that was an interview of a developmental psychologist named Dr. Eliza Pressman. In the day and time we live in, I do not know Dr. Pressman. I have listened to about 30 minutes of her stuff on an interview. I read an AI overview of her book where she gives 5 R's. I don't know if she's a person of faith or not, but I'm going to tell you, when I read her 5 R's of parenting, I was like, this is all in the Lord's Prayer. Check this out. Here's her five R's of parenting. Relationship, reflection, regulation, rules, and repair. And let me tell you something. These are not about the kids. These are about the adult. These are the ways the adult begins to show up and be the most influential factor in that child's environment. The goal of parenting as a parent who comes underneath the kingdom of God is that you would establish an environment, the soil where these children can thrive and discover dependency on God for all things. So that no matter the complexities of the life they're headed into, they will be rooted and established in the love of God and in the life of God so that they too can know how to pray and welcome the wisdom of God for all that's ahead of them. And these five R's are so fascinating to me because she says relationship. It's all about loving attachment. Well, guess where God starts with us in teaching us to pray? Our Father, loving attachment. The first goal of parenting is to model the kingdom of God. We are a child of God. We are loved by God. And to begin to relate to our kids that way, loving attachment. And then to build a life of reflection, which is about self-control through awareness. Oh God, I'm sinful. Help me practice self-control. Don't just ask my kids to have a measure of self-control so it's easy on me. Grow self-control on me so I can show up great for them. And then it's regulation. So, not just self-control but through awareness, but self-control through empowered choices. I regulate. I breathe. I call time out, I walk away, and then I come back before I model behavior I do not want reproduced. Your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. And then there's rules. There should always be rules in homes. Parents, please set rules. It's kindness. It is kindness to have rules, but check this out. Rules are about boundaries and limits. Boundaries and limits. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Lord's Prayer teaches boundaries and limits. One of the psalmists says, "The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places." And I love that she finishes with repair. Forgive me as I. Parents, the most important thing you can do is build a home with enough humility in your heart that you set an example for forgiveness. You ask for forgiveness. You extend forgiveness because it is the repair of relationship. It moves us back to the top. We reestablish loving attachment. And then we reflect on how do I need to grow? God, how do you want to change and transform me to look more like you? And then we grow with behaviors that reflect that, and then we model it. There's regulation. We're beginning to show restraint, and we're beginning to live with better boundaries. If you want your kids to be on their screens less, what should you do? Man, some of you are like, don't go there, Kurt. That's not cool. Be on your screens less. If you want your kids to have relationships, what do you need to show them how to do? Have community. Regulate our lives out of the reflection. Holy Spirit, speak to me, lead me, guide me, show me your wisdom. And then there's rules, but guess what? We're going to break them. Our kids are going to break the rules. But God has more for us because he's a God of repair and rescue. God can and will resource your parenting. Dr. Pressman, one of the big things she's communicating in this podcast is you need to understand you are the most influential factor as the parent. When I was in my master's degree, I was studying as a marriage and family therapist, and I studied parent involvement in sex education. It's great. Parent involvement in sex education. All the research says this. Kids want to hear from the parent. You are the most influential factor in the environment your kids are being raised. If you are quiet on topics, they will go look for it somewhere else. Let your voice be heard. Let your life live the hope of the gospel. Show them how to pray. Show them how to cry out to God. Show them how to depend on a God who wants to give daily bread. You are the one shaping the environment, and you will feel inadequate. You will have moments where fatigue is the thing you feel more than anything, and we cry out to God and we say, God, help. Fill me with your Holy Spirit for today. Give me daily bread today. So when we say teach us to pray, we're also saying teach us to parent. And I'll tell you what, I want everybody in the room to be a spiritual parent. That you would be a follower of Jesus who gives away the life of God to somebody else. We all need parenting and we all need spiritual parenting. And you are being invited. And the way we do it is to seek first the kingdom of God. God dependency. How many of you would love your castle to be more full of love? More full of joy? How about peace? Come on. How about patience? These are all great qualities of a parent. Guess what they all are? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Teach us to pray. God wants to give good gifts, but he says this, I will give you more of the Holy Spirit. More of the Holy Spirit is loving attachment. More of the Holy Spirit is joy experienced. More of the Holy Spirit is patience, so we can regulate and we can ask for forgiveness. We can model the kinds of lives we want to model. Amen? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Even my self-control is not mine to claim. It is the kindness of God. It is the work of God. It is a gift to me and to everyone around me. Oh, how much more your Father in heaven wants to give good gifts. So here's where I'm going to finish. How do we do this week? It's going to take time. A lot of us need to build more and new muscles around some of this. So let's just start where Jesus started. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. We all need to increase time spent praying with God. Period. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus, you can just do as you please. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is how Jesus lives. This is how we live too. One day, Jesus was in a particular place praying. We need to do that. Parents, we can increase our parenting prowess when we increase our connectedness with God. Pray. But here's what that does. If you learn to listen to God, guess what skill you're building in your parenting? Listening. If you want your kids to listen to you, what kind of behavior do we need to model? It's not a trick question, guys. If we want to build the skill of listening in our kids, what skill and practice do we need to have in our lives as a model and example? One day, Jesus was in a particular place listening to his Father in heaven. Can we increase our ability to listen to God and listen to the young people around us? Yes. I want to give you a question to consider, and then I'm going to give some quiet space to reflect. I think the world in which we currently live has given us a rubric for parenting. And it's interesting. It's like, how can I give my kids the best? But in a consumer-driven world, that is colored and greatly impacted by materialism and experience and opportunity, which is the more opportunity I give my kids, the better. Think about this question, maybe. Does this decision or behavior increase peace in my castle? Does this decision, does this behavior increase peace or become a barrier to peace? Is peace how you define and describe the environment in your home? Is peace the thing that defines your relationship with your kids? Is peace what's happening inside of you right now? If parents are the most influential factor in the environment for their kids, we have to ask God to do greater work in us so we're not walking down the sidewalk where we live saying, God, would you just make my kids perfect so it will be easy on me? No. God, would you do a deeper work of your kingdom in me so I can make it better for my kids? And the better is not in the material world. God knows what we need to eat. God knows what we want to wear. God knows about that part of our life, but he says, no, it's more than that. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all this will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, because my Father is pleased to give it to you. Pleased to give it to you. In just a minute, I'm going to invite you to respond to receive prayer. Parenting is one of the hardest things I've ever done. It reveals all of my imperfections. I need God. Everything good I want for my kids is found in the Holy Spirit. The living God being with us, in us, for us. What do you need? What do you need for your soul? There's this real practical life truth. You cannot give away what you do not have. What do you need to ask God for today so you have it to give? What do you need to ask God for today so you have it to give? Now, we're going to let the room be quiet for a minute. And we say, come, Holy Spirit, would you speak today?